This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
The Diddy verdict is in. What happened, what it means, and what comes next is what we are about to break down for you right here. So, what happened? Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Sean Diddy Combs, music mogul. Mogul of moguls, hip-hop billionaire, allegedly, just got handed a mixed verdict that feels like it came out of a Netflix legal drama written by a team of interns. After weeks of gut-wrenching testimony, disturbing video evidence, a mountain of credible witnesses, a New York jury found Diddy guilty on only two charges. Transporting women across state lines for the purposes of prostitution. That's it. Two, the same number of drinks you'd order at happy hour before deciding this world has officially lost the plot. And the rest, he was acquitted. On the three heavy hitter charges, sex trafficking conspiracy, and racketeering. Yeah, those charges. The ones the whole case basically revolved around. Not guilty. Despite the fact that we all saw the 2016 hotel hallway video of Diddy violently assaulting Cassie Ventura, multiple women testified to being groomed, coerced, and drugged. There were accounts of freak-off sex parties where women were allegedly drugged and paraded around for the entertainment of rich men. Kid Cudi said Diddy blew up his car, literally, as an explosion. So let's recap here. Diddy didn't take the stand. His defense didn't call a single witness, not even a character reference. He just sat there, silent, banking on one thing, doubt. And in the end, it worked. The jury convicted him of the meh charges, although they do hold significant penalties and will likely put him away in prison for some time. And we'll get to that in just a moment. While putting on the charges that would have actually defined the legacy of this trial. They punted that down the road. Saying, nope, no. He didn't do those. We don't think so. Keep in mind, everything we've seen on the outside here, all these documentaries, all the reporting, all of that, not all of that was in court. Not everyone has been seeing those things. On the outside world, yes, we have. On the inside world of Diddy, in the court setting, only pieces of that were put on as evidence against Sean Diddy Combs, or were allowed to be put on as evidence against Sean Diddy Combs. Now, to be fair and legally accurate, transporting someone for sex without coercion is still a federal crime, but it's the difference between being branded a violent trafficker of women versus a sleazy guy with a private jet and a Rolex full of bad decisions. After the verdict, the courtroom reaction has been mixed. And as of this recording, they are still in court. As we're recording this, it is the day of this verdict. And the debate as of this hour, as of our recording of this, is whether or not to allow Diddy to walk free today on bail, on his own recognizance, back to his Miami home, awaiting the actual sentencing, which, like I said, will likely result in jail time up to 10 years on each of these counts. So he could face up to 20 years in prison. That's nothing to sniff at. Will he likely spend that much time in prison? Likely not. But he's going to likely go away for some period of time. Not enough for him to come back and make a comeback, if you will, if the world is willing to take it. Which it seems the world is willing to take about anything these days, doesn't it? After the verdict, the courtroom reaction, like I said, it's been mixed. Some gasps, some sighs. Diddy on his knees praying in the courtroom. Diddy's team smirked like they just pulled off a heist. The survivors and the supporters shell-shocked because they brought the receipts. They brought the stories. They brought their trauma. And it still wasn't enough. Diddy is still in federal custody. Like I said, he has not been released. And considering the severity of the charges he was convicted on and the prior denial of bail, it's really anyone's guess right now exactly what is going to happen. He is a first-time offender as well, which will also play into this. But there is a very large reality that Diddy could be walking out of that courtroom later today, catching a flight back to Miami, where he's going to be staying at his home until the actual sentencing takes place, either later in this month or early August, likely. We don't have a date on that as of yet. So that's what happened. What does it all mean? Let's not mince words. This verdict is a masterclass in how America handles power, patriarchy, and prosecution. First, let's talk about the video. This is the video where Cassie Ventura is in. The one where Diddy runs down a hallway in a towel, grabs Cassie, throws her to the ground, kicks her, and walks away like it's just another Tuesday. That wasn't an alleged event. This was an on-tape event, and the jury still found him not guilty on the sex trafficking charge related to her. What that tells us is this: physical violence, even captured in high-def surveillance, isn't enough to convince a jury that a rich, famous man was running a long-term criminal operation targeting women. If that's not the legal threshold, then what is? Because let's be real. If Diddy were a rando with a burner phone and a Motel 6 rewards card, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. He'd already be in prison. The decision sets a dangerous precedent. It sends a message to abusers with resources, a message that they have known and lived by for many, many a decades. Really say millennia. That as long as you don't leave a paper trail labeled sex trafficking for dummies, you might just skate. And that's not just disappointing, it's terrifying. Because this case wasn't about one bad night. It was about a pattern, a culture, an ecosystem of fear, manipulation, and control. Victims described a Diddy who isolated them, paid them, threatened them, flew them across states, and drugged them. He allegedly beat them, stalked them, retaliated when they tried to leave. One woman said she had to escape with the help of hotel staff. Another said she was filmed without consent. But here's the rub. None of that was enough for racketeering. Why? Because racketeering requires a criminal enterprise. And apparently, being a billionaire with a long history of questionable behavior doesn't count unless you're also filling W-2s for your enforcers. The jury did convict him of transporting women for sex, but even that feels like a slap on the wrist compared to what was laid out in court and what reality has shown us he has done. It's like busting Al Capone for jaywalking. The verdict also highlights a persistent problem in the justice system, the myth of a perfect victim. Cassie stayed with Diddy. Other women accepted money. Some parties looked consensual on the outside. And juries, regular people who still watch Law & Order like it's a documentary, can't always wrap their heads around coercion when it doesn't come with a ski mask and duct tape. In reality, power and money are more effective tools of control than any weapon. But our legal system still struggles to process that unless it comes gift-wrapped in violence and clear paper trails. So what's next? Now, just because Diddy dodged the big one does not mean he is in the clear. Let's be clear on that. He's still facing sentencing for the two counts he was convicted of. Each count carries up to 10 years in prison. So yes, he could technically serve 20 years. But will he? Probably not. And let's be honest, with the maximum sentencing, we're looking at the possibility of plea deals, appeals, and the kind of legal gymnastics only the ultra-rich can afford. Importantly, he, like I said, is still behind bars as of this moment. Bail was previously denied, and with felony convictions now on record, the chances of pre-sentencing release, they're more 50-50 than slim to none as they were before. So, there is a possibility he's not walking free yet. And possibly not for a very long time. Sentencing will likely become a battle of image rehab versus judicial discretion, except the defense expect the defense to roll out every philanthropic project Diddy ever touched, every orphanage he visited, every dollar he donated. They'll paint him as the misunderstood Mother Teresa artist who lost his way, not a violent predator who systematically harmed women. Meanwhile, survivors will continue to speak out. Civil suits are still pending. More victims will likely come forward. The pressures aren't going away, and neither is the public outrage. The court of law may have partially cleared him, but the court of public opinion? That's still in session. As this trial peeled back the layers of who Diddy allegedly is, when the lights are off and the cameras are gone. And even if the jury couldn't call it trafficking, the rest of us know what it is. And it is chilling. It's also possible, though, let's not hold our breath, that this verdict sparks reform. Conversations about what constitutes coercion, how power dynamics work in abuse cases, why videos of violence still don't guarantee conviction. That is, if anyone in Washington is brave enough to go there. For now, though, Diddy remains in custody, and for every survivor watching, it's a brutal reminder that truth doesn't always win in court. That you can bring the bruises, the video, the trauma, and still be told, sorry, not enough. Let's not forget, it took years for these stories to reach a courtroom at all. Years of silence and fear, NDAs, threats, shame, and many, many other emotions. The fact that Diddy was even put on trial at this level is already a sea change. And while the legal outcome maybe partial justice at best, the cultural reckoning isn't done. Because the stories are out, the video is out, and no verdict can unring that bell. Let's see what happens when these sentences come down. Let's see how many more people and how many more women step up now that the veil is lifted. Or will this hold them back? Will this silence more people going, well, I can put myself through that hell, but will it do any good? And let's see if the justice system catches up to reality. The reality we've all seen with our own eyes. For now, we're watching and we won't forget. There are still many civil cases against Diddy. The burden of proof in a civil case is a bit different than a criminal case. You have preponderance of evidence there. And it doesn't have to be a full jury that agrees. It's basically majority. And there's a lot of cases over there. What will happen? Time will tell. This man's going to be in court for a very long time and behind bars, very likely, for a point of time as well. Enough time to get out and try and reinvent himself? Very likely. Will we see Diddy the preacher? That's my prediction. What do you guys think? What is going to happen next in the saga of Diddy? Tell me in the comments on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube yet, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You'll find us there, and you can weigh in as well. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our updates and this case and all of the cases that we follow for you right here at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.